This morning we're reading from the Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 1, or Canto 1, Chapter 8, you all know. Prayers by Queen Kunti. We'll read text 44. Sutta Uvacha. Prita yetam kalap dhai, pari nuta kilo dhaya, mandam jahasa vaikunto, Mohayan Iva Mayaya. Translation. Sri Suta Goswami said, "The Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power." Purport. Anything that is enchanting in the world is said to be a representation of the Lord. The conditioned souls who are engaged in trying to lord it over the material world are also engaged by his mystic powers, but his devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord, and his merciful blessings are upon them. His energy is displayed in different ways as electrical energy works in manifold capacities. Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enunciate a fragment of his glories. All his devotees worship him in that way by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttam Shloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glory, and yet he is satisfied by such prayers as the Father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. The word Maya is used both in the sense of delusion and mercy. Herein the word Maya is used in the sense of the Lord's mercy upon Kunti Devi. Very beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam in a very famous chapter of this great scripture. And herein we hear how pleased Lord Krishna was with the heartfelt prayers of Srimati Kunti Devi. Queen Kunti spoke her famous prayers to the Lord just after the Battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna was preparing to return to Dvarka and feeling already some intense separation from the Lord. She approached him to reveal her heart in the form of bandhanam. This bandhanam, or prayer, is one of the essential 9 ingredients in the process of bhakti yoga. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, shmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandham, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. So bandhanam, prayer. A prayer actually is the devotee revealing his heart to Krishna. Of course, in the initial stages, we don't have so much devotion. We have, as we say in Russian, chuchu, or in Hindi, toro toro. We have little, but that's okay. As Confucius said, the longest journey begins with the first step. We have a little love. Maybe not love, but you could say in the beginning we have great appreciation for the association of the devotees, the spiritual master, the Lord. That appreciation eventually evolves into affection, and that affection, if we stick around long enough, it blossoms into love. But even if in the beginning we don't have so much devotion, we can't offer heartfelt prayers, that's okay. We don't really know what to say. When we came to Krishna consciousness and took shelter of our spiritual master in order to approach the Lord, we had to turn to him. Well, how should I approach the Lord? Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kaficham vadakadishu kamaye. Mama janmani janmani ishwara bhavatat bhakti ahaitakitwe. He told us, the sadhus tell us, in the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, "Hey Lord, I'm new here. I'm a beginner on the path. And I'm approaching you in this mood. I have no desire for money, for material opulence. I don't want to enjoy the opposite sex. I don't want pratishna, name and fame. Mama janmani, janmani ishvara. I don't even want liberation from this world, mukti. I'll be happy just to be your servant again, like I was a long, long time ago. Well, son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and reinstate me as your servant in the spiritual world. We may not realize it, but we're like a child who, just because they imitate the parents, little babies, they can't walk. And they look around and they see the parents walking and they've got a little bit of it in their system and they start walking, and by imitating, it becomes natural. Actually, that's the definition of sadhan bhakti. Sadhan bhakti is devotional service in practice. Bhava bhakti is devotional service in realization, and prem bhakti is devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, love for God. So we're just practitioners now, but we have faith that that practice will make us perfect. Practice makes perfect. So we can memorize these type of prayers. We can imitate. But in due course of time, it will mature. Just like one time a gentleman in India, he criticized Prabhupada. He said, "You say your students are practicing bhakti yoga. They're just becoming free from all the anarthas. Where's the question of the devotion?" Oh, Prabhupada said, "Oh no, it's devotion. They have some genuine affection for me." He said, "It's like the green mango and the ripe mango. We think, oh, mango's the king of fruits, so I'll go to the market and buy a nice mango. You know, they're yellow, orangey, and they got little, just the black spots are starting to come. And then you smell them, and they have that rich, deep aroma. That's mango. And the green mangoes, leave them to ripe. But if we just left the green mangoes on the ground, we wouldn't have achar. And what is our cooking without achar?" You know, the Hindus are the Indian. Some of you don't know. Achar, pickle. Mango pickle, lemon pickle. You know, you can't make it from a ripe mango. You have to make it from a green mango. Thank God for green mangoes. Thank God for all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, even the beginner who's just here for the first time to inquire into Krishna consciousness. His faith is just budding. It's just the green fruit. But it's to be appreciated. So Lord appreciates our humble attempts to glorify Him. And we stick to the prayers of pure devotees. But while repeating these beautiful prayers, such as Kunti Devi has done, her prayers are the essence of this bandhanam. Therefore, Prabhupada chose to lecture on them extensively, such beautiful purports, and they've been compiled into a book, The Teachings of Queen Kunti, Bandhanam. But we should be very careful because they're very potent. If you chant them, then in due course of time, you will become Krishna conscious. Just like if you take medicine. Just take it, follow the prescription on the bottle, be patient, you'll become cured if you have a good doctor. So chant, memorize like Dravida Prabhu. You memorize like, just follow in Dravida's footsteps. Why is he such a blissful, ecstatic, happy, steady devotee, well on his way back to Godhead? He loves the bandhanam, the prayers. We can follow him. But let us be careful as we make advancement through this process of bandhanam, not to abuse the prayers. Sometimes people abuse prayer. They go to the church, they go to the mosque, they go to the temple, they go to the synagogue. They have the opportunity to pray to God, but they don't ask for the right thing. So we've discussed numerous times. They want money, fame, material possessions. Dhanam dehi, rupam dehi, rupavati bharam dehi. Yes, this is a mantra. If you want to be very successful in this material world, have lots of material opulence, then chant this mantra. Dhanam dehi rupam dehi rupavati bharyam dehi. Dhanam dehi rupam dehi rupavati. Wow! You see the pictures sometimes in India? Lakshmi is there and the gold, just coins are falling from her hands. Wow! Oh, worshipable mother Durga Devi, please give me wealth, strength, fame, good wife, son, and most important, green card to the U.S. For a Vaishnava, this is actually using God's name or the devotee of God in vain. Of course, it's a step because at least those of that mentality are recognizing there's higher authority. It's not just nature's running on some mechanical laws. There's personal forces, there's personalities behind all the workings of nature. But Ishvara Panama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaranakana. There's one cause of all causes. So we shouldn't use his name in vain. That's a Christian term, actually. We've just come through a series of Christian festivals, Easter. So we can draw from our Christian brothers and sisters. Don't use the name of God in vain. I remember Prabhupada told one story one time in Geneva. He said there was an innocent boy, like a cowherd boy. He walked into one store to make a purchase, and there were three brothers and the working in the store. They owned the store. And so the first one said, "Oh, Gopal!" And he walked a little further into the store, and the other attendant said, "Oh, Madhusudan!" And the other one said, "Hari!" So the boy was thinking, "Oh, I'm very safe here. It's very Krishna conscious. I won't get cheated." But there was a devious mentality behind those individuals because they had a kind of a code system. So when somebody came in and he was kind of like naive, you could rip him off, like simple. Gopal, he's just a cowherd boy. Not very smart. Madhusudan, husband of the goddess of fortune. He's got lots of money. Hari, take everything away from him. Hari means he who takes everything away, inauspicious. So that's not how we should approach the Lord, especially with the greatest prayer of all. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. It's not just mantra. We think of mantra, we chant mantra and then some mechanical. No, this chanting is meant to come from the heart also. It's an expression of our love for God, and we're beggars, begging for service. One of my favorite prayers of the heart is earlier on in this chapter, Queen Kunti Devi, where she sets this very high example of praying to the Lord only for pure devotional service. Twayi me nanya vishaya matir marupate shukrit ratim udva hathad adha ganga vogam udanvati. You see, Drivet is just melting in bliss back there as he hears this, even though it's imperfectly. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. In the Padma Purana, we find a similar verse. Smartavya satatam Vishnur, Vishmartavyo najatu jit. One should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is a very simple instruction. We discussed this actually last night. Kunti Devi is praying to always be in full remembrance of Krishna. Never forget him. But as we've experienced in our initial stage, it's pretty hard to remember Krishna even when we're engaged in some very intense devotional service like chanting our japa. how our mind wanders all throughout the creation and then does a 360 and comes right back on the last beat of the 16th round. It's not easy to always remember the Lord and never forget Him. Why? Because we have so many things to think about in this world. We were just on the airplane and I was watching all the people reading the newspaper. I was shocked. They didn't just read one newspaper. One lady, very affluent, paka, materialist. She had the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and the Herald Tribune. And it was a one hour and 20 minute flight from San Jose down to John Wayne Airport. And she finished one, and then she went to the next one, and you know, the plane was landing, and she was, you know, rushing to read the last one. I was thinking, you know, this is called chewing the chewed. It's all the same stories. It's not that, you know, one newspaper has something different. It's just, there's only so many things that happen in one day in this world that can attract the attention of the public. Like this, people have so many things. I told Gaurhari, my servant on this trip, I just see people have so many things to talk about. There was a lady blabbing behind us about, I don't know, a bubble bath she took, and you know how nice the bubble bath was, and the aroma. And her friend said, "Oh, I know a better bubble bath liquid." And they had a little argument, and you know, it was all about bubble baths for 45 minutes. Oh my God. Shrotavya dhini rajendra nrinam shanti shahashvashaha apasyatam atmatatmam griheshu griha medinam. What a nice verse! These verses are like jewels. They're the nectar of Krishna consciousness. We mine the process and we get these jewels. Prabhupada said, you quote a verse 7 times and it's yours. So Dravida is a very rich man. He's brahmachari with no possession, but don't think, no. He has a vast treasure house of these beautiful verses. They're his. Me, I have to practice for 3 days before I come here, so Dravida doesn't come up to me like he did last year and say, "Hey Maharaj, you better practice your shlokas before you give the class at Laguna Beach." So those who are materially engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, have so many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. Everything but Krishna. Everything but something spiritual. They'll just avoid that discussion, just like my father said. "You like to talk, boy. As you grow up, when you talk to people, don't talk about politics or religion." "Hey, Dad, sorry." "It's lots of politics in the temple, and I'm always preaching about religion." "Sorry, Dad." I hope my dad would actually be proud of me. But there's so many things, but just like my father said, avoid politics. People avoid spiritual life like the plague. "Excuse me, sir, could you please look at this book?" Vaisheshika was telling us. We had a wonderful 2 or 3 days with Vaisheshika Prabhu in San Jose. What a devotee. He's another shlokawala. I'd like to see these two titans of shlokas, Dravida and Vaisheshika together. And he was talking about his Sankirtan days. I said, "Did you ever meet anybody like VIPs out there?" And he had this long list, you know, Michael Jackson and this one and that one. He met Mick Jagger. I go, "Wow, Mick Jagger. You met Mick Jagger? Wow, like what happened, man? Like, what did he take, a book?" He said, "No, when I presented him the book, he said, 'Don't bore me. Don't bore me with that. I'm sorry if you're like a real fan of the Rolling Stones." I hope I didn't. But his wife, well, I don't know which one it was, but his wife at that time, she said, "Mick, come on, you're in a bad mood, that's all. You know, these are the Haris, they're great. You know, they're nice people." He said, "Yeah, okay, all right." So she paid for the book and gave it to him. So he's not such a bad guy. Just in a bad mood, you know. But generally people don't like to hear these things. Why? This is the place of forgetfulness. We shouldn't be surprised when you go on Sangatan, you try to share Krishna. Don't be upset. Don't become discouraged. This is the place of forgetfulness. It's not that you're going to go and everyone's going to embrace you. The opposite is true. But by the Gaur Shakti, by the the deep desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, it's all going on. Somehow or other, by the touch of their mercy, there's an awakening of the soul within the heart. So many things to hear about. That's why we also can't think of Krishna all the time, because we're also part of that world. Just a few moments ago, we can't say, oh, those materialistic persons, Mick Jagger, and you know. No. In cosmic time, we were there just milliseconds ago. What's the difference between us and, quote, them? Well, we're not better than them, really. As long as we maintain material desires, we're still a little guilty. We're not better than them, we're just more fortunate than them. And we should work very hard to share our good fortune with our brothers and sisters, whomever they are. And be very tolerant if sometimes they insult us. This is why Mahaprabhu talks so much about tolerance, even in the classic of all classics. Trinada pi sunichana, Tora pi snahishana, Manina, Menana, Kirtani yad, Sada, Hari. Tolerance. You have to be very tolerant. As Jesus said, we're still coming down from Easter. As Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. To be very tolerant when you go out there. And we're guilty of the same thing. So, you know, what is it Jesus says? Let he who has not sinned throw the first stone. So we have to practice. Physician, heal thyself. Charity begins at home. We're bound to preach because it's the order of our guru. But we want to be qualified when we go out there. We want to be successful for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. So we have to come to this stage of being full-fledged devotees, potent in our service. We want to remember Krishna. Kirtaniyad sada hari, Mahaprabhu says. Okay, you're having nice kirtan, you're thinking of Krishna, but kirtaniyad sada hari. My request is you think of Krishna 24 hours a day. All right. That's like really hard. How can you think of someone all the time? If you love them. You don't have to try to remember them. It springs forth from the heart. You love them. So you're working and you're somehow or you're going on with your computer work and you're thinking of her and still the report gets done. And you're driving the bus, you know, and you're thinking of her and you, no accidents, you know. We can do it. So this is, Kunti uses this word, ananya vishaya, or I want to think of you with love. So she's a perfect example. Either love or hate. If you hate someone, you're also thinking of them. Kamsa hated Krishna. Boy, did he hated Krishna as much as Kunti loved Krishna. Just like a magnet. A magnet's a very interesting thing. It's got two potencies. It can attract and it can repel. So the devotee, his heart is like a magnet. He loves Krishna, so he attracts Krishna. But a devotee, a non-devotee, he doesn't like Shishupal. He didn't like Krishna when he came out of the womb. He just was cursing Krishna. Most children take 2 years to say something. Shishupal came out and said, that rascal Krishna. And he went on and on and on and on, and Krishna said, enough. And Shishupal's mother came and said, yeah, but he's a nice boy, he's my baby, he's not so bad, you know, mothers are. And so Krishna said, all right. But the thousandth time that he blasphemes me, kaput. Oh, that's German, sorry. We spent a lot of time in here. Kaput's a German finished. So Shishupal went on and on, and finally the Rajasuya sacrifice came, and they were going to elect a distinguished leader of the August Assembly, and somebody stood up and said, Krishna, He should be the leader of this august assembly. And Shishupala said, "Ah, wait a minute, Krishna, this and that, and you know." Blah, blah, blah. So Krishna said, 997, 998, 999, "That Krishna's a rascal." "All right, Shishupala." Cut off his head. So that type of mentality, the magnet repulses. It repulses. We want to attract Krishna, not repulse Krishna. We want to. He's a supreme lover. We all have an intimate relationship. We'll be yayatma shupasiditi. We'll be happy only when we're reinstated in our loving relationship with God. So Rupa Goswami says, therefore, although Kamsa was constantly thinking of Krishna, he's not Krishna conscious like we are talking about. Anyabilasita sunyam jnana karma anavitam anukalena krishna shulanam bhaktir uttama Dravida Uttama. When first class devotional service develops, one is completely devoid of material desires, impersonal knowledge, and fruitive action. The devotee serves Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So this is the key. Awaken your love and you'll think of Krishna all the time. And Kunti is a very good example of that. We need good examples in Krishna consciousness, like Bhadri Narayan Prabhu. Steady devotees, godbrothers who show us how to please Śrīla Prabhupāda. Big plans, huge temples, nice congregations, steady service after so many years. Dealing with all the problems. We need good examples. So she was a perfect example. How do we know? Because she never wavered in her devotion. She was put through so many tests, so many calamities. But she never... How many calamities did she remain steady in? Vishan Mahagne Purushada Dharshanad. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings due to our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have just saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. These were all calamities which Krishna sent to test her love. Sometimes it's necessary to test something to see if it's genuine. Like gold. Nowadays there's so many crooks. That's a 1940s word. Crook. You're a crook. You don't hear it anymore. You're a crook. Crooks, yeah, they manufacture something and it looks like gold. So how do you know if something's really gold? Well, they have a kind of an unusual way to do it in India. A lot of cheating going on in India. They have the, unfortunately, I don't like to say this, but the jewelers have the shalagram. You take the shalagram Śrīla, which is Vishnu, and if you take the gold ring or you take the gold chain and you just rub it across the shalagram, it'll leave a trace of gold. If it's not gold, if it looks like gold, nothing. So therefore, to show the customer, oh yes, this is genuine gold, 22 carat, they take the shalagram. So lots of times I go to the jewelry store and I say, look, you know, can I buy that shalagram for you guys? You're scratching it all day. It's a test. And Chanaka Pandit, he also says, sometimes to see if something's genuine, test it. Test a servant while in the discharge of duty. Test a relative in time of difficulty. Test a friend in times of adversity. Not a fair weather friend. If they're a real friend, when the going gets rough, they're right there with you all the way through. And test a wife in misfortune. When you can't buy the gold bangles anymore, she still sticks with you. She's genuine. You have to test sometimes. Sometimes Krishna tests his devotees. Don't be afraid. All right, come on. I want to show my love for you. You test. See the result. I remember my father told me a story one time. I heard it later on, even in Krishna consciousness. During World War II, there was a German spy who infiltrated... Badri's going to love this. There was a German spy who infiltrated the British Army. Not just the Army, but the officer corps. And the officer corps, especially in Britain, is something very special. Very prestigious, the best of the best. They're gentlemen to begin with, they're learned, they're scholars. not just tough guys, but they have a lot of, you know, Kshatriya. They can divide and conquer and rule. The British officers, how did Britain conquer the world? They had very good soldiers and officers, famous. So this German spy learned English so well that he spoke with a perfect British accent, like Rosewater. When I go to England, I study the kids. How do you say Rosewater? Oh, Maharaj, it Rosewater. Can we have some Rosewater? And they say, how do you say it, Maharaj? I say, Rosewater. Oh, like Americans, Rosewater. You Americans, so loud, Rosewater. It is water. Indeed. Indeed, it is water. So he mastered the English language, and he was in England, and he had the fake papers and the fake identity and the mannerisms, and you hold a cup of tea, you drink like this, and you have your little baton, and you walk, and you know. He was expert. So this is going on. The war is going on for some years. But the officer corps that were deployed in different places and things were going on. And the British government assumed or figured that because so many things were going wrong, there must be a spy in the higher ranks of the army. So they tried to find out. They did so many interviews and they did, you know, checks. They didn't have computers in those days, and they were interviews and talking in the history, and they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't catch this guy. He was so extra. I think he was also involved in the investigation. He was one of the investigating officers. Going on and on and on. So then Churchill had a brilliant plan. So one day they suspected maybe it's somebody just had a suspicion. I don't know what it was. So Churchill said, okay, do this. So this man, who had just a very slight suspicion, they called him to the office for some routine duty. And, you know, army's tough. Somebody purposefully slammed the door on his fingers. Achtun, mein Herr, ja, bo, das not good. You come with us. Kaput. It's a true story. How they caught him. They slammed the door on his fingers. What happens when you slam the door on your fingers? Are you? Hare Krishna. Thank you. That's a test. That's a small test. Sometimes, you know, there's the mid-year exams. Some difficulties, some problems, some business, school tragedy. Materialistic person, when there's difficulty, what do? They take shelter in the material energy. And they drink, take intoxication, commit suicide. What does a devotee do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare becomes purified, because then when he chants, then there's some quality to that chanting. He's not just finishing his rounds. He's calling from the heart. This is the kind of chanting that brings the Lord like a magnet to your bosom. He becomes your bosom friend when you chant like a baby. Like a baby's crying, but the cobra comes into the crib and mother knows the difference. She's cooking and the baby's crying, and I let him cry. But that cry, my baby's in danger. If you chant like that, O son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant. Look, I'm in the world of death. Krishna, help. Padyavali, Rupa Goswami teaches us that mood. I'm drowning in this fathomless whirlpool of material existence, my Lord. Please, just this one time, won't you extend your hand to save me? You have to pray like Gajendra. He was being bitten by the crocodile. lifted his trunk and from his previous life remembered some very beautiful that came from the heart. So sometimes it takes the bite of the crocodile to elicit that mood of dependence on God. So you might have to expect that. It's kind of like going through the fire of ordeal. When you gold, how do they? When gold comes from the earth, it does. Do you know it's not? When I was young, we used to go to the Sierra Nevada. We used to pan for gold with my friends, and we found some pretty far out places. I think I maybe should go back there. And we would get the gold nuggets, but they were dirty brown. When we first got them, I said, "I had a big nugget like dirt. I threw it away." And then we went to the mining store. They had even those in the 60s. And I found out, actually, it was genuine gold. I'd thrown it away. It was a big old nugget left over from the, 49, the gold rush. You take the gold and you burn it in fire, and it becomes brilliant. So sometimes through the fire of ordeal, a devotee's real devotion comes out. But you don't have to pray like Kunti Devi. She prayed, "Let these calamities come again and again, Krishna, because as a result of these calamities, we have to think of your lotus feet every time, and by thinking of your lotus feet, no more repetition of birth and death." But don't say that too much, because there's enough calamities in this world, you don't have to pray for them. You may be... So the fact that she never forgot Krishna in the midst of all those cannibals and poison cakes and all that attests to her real devotion to God. And more evidence of Kunti's devotion is given very kindly by Sanatana Goswami in his Tikas to Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He recounts how on one occasion in Mathura, Krishna asked Akura, "You go to Hastinapura, see how the Pandavas are doing. Some problems going on. See how they're withstanding Duryodhana's harassment." So when Akura went there, he met with one of his favorite devotees, Kunti. And when they met, you can imagine when two great souls meet. Wow. Sanatana Goswami relates how when Kunti just heard the name of Krishna come from the mouth of Akura, it caused ecstatic symptoms of love to appear throughout her body. She just heard the word Krishna. Horripilation, tears, faltering of the voice. What happens when we... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I've exposed myself. Nothing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that upon the Haribol, upon the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, if tears don't come to the eyes, if your voice doesn't falter, you don't go down to the ground unconscious. Rigupati Prabhu ki. Yeah. Here's a mango. Listen to the first part of the class and I'll tell you about the mango. That means that you're guilty of some one or more of the offenses to the holy name of the Lord. She just heard the name of Krishna. And so this attests to her very great devotion to the Lord. So when she prays like this, we can follow her in her footsteps. Learn the prayers and pray just like her. In conclusion, she loved the Lord in happiness and distress. Smaranam. Therefore, she had constant remembrance of the Lord. There's many devotees like that. You can pick or choose one out of the Bhagavatam. Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which draws the essence out of the Srimad Bhagavatam, concludes that the greatest love is possessed by the gopis of Vrindavan. Arajyo Bhagavan Prachesha Tanayatad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kichit Upashana Bhaja Vadhu Vargena Yagopita. Krishna, the son of the king of Braja, is the most worshipable person of all. The gopis possess the greatest love for him, and his abode Vrindavan is worshipable. So actually, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are aspiring to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, because their love is very deep, difficult for us to understand. Therefore, we get it in small doses so we can deal with it effectively. One time Prabhupada was speaking on Lord Varaha's day, Lord Varaha's appearance day, speaking about different devotees and their relationship with Krishna and their particular sentiments. And then he said, but the gopis, they never ask Krishna for anything. And then he broke down crying. And the lecture was over in 2 minutes. So because they possess that very deep, pure, pristine, 24-karat gold devotion, we're following them cautiously. We're Rupanugas. Rupa Goswami wrote extensively on this subject matter, following in their footsteps. Because it's best to attain these exalted states of Krishna consciousness, it's best to follow in the footsteps of devotees, not approach the Lord directly. One time, I remember a boy said to me, he said, you know, what do I need a spiritual master for? I just go directly. He gets in the way. I go directly to God. Not some guy in my way. I said, no. I said, it's like a... I said, God's very far away, right? Yeah, okay, maybe he's far away. I said, so the spiritual master is like the telescope. God's very far away, but if you hear from him and you serve him, he can bring God very close. You look in the telescope, the moon's very far away. You look at the telescope, it's almost like in front of your nose. He said, that's a really good example. That's all it took. So what should I do? I said, well, come to the temple and chant Hare Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, more dangerous than associating with a materialistic woman is to associate with a man, a lusty man who's attached to women. And more favorable than associating with God is to associate with a devotee who's attached to God. What a such nectar. Makes it all clear. Now we understand. One might conclude, therefore, we should all run to Vrindavan and associate with the Brajabasis. That would be nice, but even Prabhupada left Vrindavan to come and preach in the West. But we have the association of such a very deep, realized devotee. One time, they asked Prabhupada, who are you in the spiritual world? Prabhupada said, if I told you, you'd faint. And actually, we are meant to think of our spiritual master as he is in this world, in his mood, in his mission in this world. And if we serve his mission in this world, we qualify ourselves to associate with him in his service in the spiritual world. So we don't have to run to Vrindavan. We should go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada one time said that the devotee should come every year. I don't often say that in the temples because the temple presidents get a little upset, especially when they're trying to build a beautiful temple in San Diego. But we can follow the instructions. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. We can remain in direct contact with our Brajabasi, our Srila Prabhupada. Follow his instructions and spread his message, and in that way we will become blessed with pure devotional service. It's just something so profound. It requires more beyond our insignificant effort. Really, it requires a lot of causeless mercy. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami gives us a hint how to follow in the footsteps of devotees like Kunti and Rupa Goswami and the gopis and our Srila Prabhupada. Because we know what the goal is, so how to follow in their footsteps and become successful even though we're at the very beginning. Param gopyam apish nigde shishe vacham iti shruti tach churyatam mahabhagya goloka mahimhaduna. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole wide world. And I will conclude with it. The Vedas say that to a loyal disciple, one may speak the confidential secret. Therefore, O most fortunate one, now please hear the glories of Goloka. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanande.